Sean Patrick Maloney, I wanted to ask you about something that I think irks me a little bit, and that is the concept of no budget. You don't get the budget done on time. You don't get paid until it happens. You voted for that.
I did.
Tell us about it.
Well, look, I think people out there can understand that if you don't get your don't do your job, you shouldn't get paid. I think they look at Congress and they think, these guys, you know, collect a fat salary. They sit around, do nothing, and we taxpayers foot the bill. So you remember what no budget, no pay was connected to. That was the ask the Republicans made so that they would agree that the United States government would pay its bills and we wouldn't default on the full faith and credit of the United States. To me, that was a pretty good deal. So they gave a big thing, and then a bunch of Democrats didn't like it, but I voted against my party because I'm not there to vote the party line or rubber stamp what the Democrats want. If giving up my salary is the price for not getting my job done, then I'll do it. I mean, if we don't do our job, we shouldn't get paid like anybody else.
But how does it work? I mean, you know, the legislature here in New York said basically you don't get the money while, you know, it's not done, but then you get the money later.
Well, Alan, there's a constitutional issue with completely depriving the legislature of the pay. What this does is it delays payment until you get the job done, which is both constitutional and common sense. But remember, the point I'm making is that no budget, no pay was the price the Republicans wanted so that they would agree to pay our bills, protect the full faith and credit of the United States. That's a very serious and a very important thing. And if what we Democrats had to agree to was just to get our jobs done or not get paid, that's a deal I'll make all day long.
Let's talk about immigration. It's very exciting. We're really finally finding some movement here. And I know that you've been supporting the Uniting American Families Act. What is that?
The Uniting American Families Act, or UAFA in Washington speak, just says that everybody should be treated fairly and equally in immigration matters. So if you're a heterosexual couple or a straight couple or a same-sex couple, the law is going to be applied equally to you. It's just basic fairness.
Have the immigration people been discriminating?
Well, here's the thing. There's a federal law that discriminates against people called DOMA, and that law prohibits treating same-sex couples on an equal footing, whether they're married or not, by the way, in the states that allow it or in a foreign jurisdiction. Federal law prohibits the federal government from treating those couples equally. It's blatant discrimination. It's wrong. I'm hoping the Supreme Court will strike it down. If not, we should overturn it. It is discriminatory, and I believe in treating everybody equally. The bigger issue on immigration is that there's a real chance that we can do some common sense reform that will enhance border security, verify the workforce, and bring a lot of people out of the shadows that will really help American competitiveness and that will get our economy moving. And I'm excited that we're going to make some progress there.
Now, your district, of course, is pretty evenly split between, you know, sort of conservative types and more liberal types, middle class. So what are you hearing from them about immigration?
Oh, I think people want Washington to work. They want us to get together and do some common sense stuff. They know we need to secure the border. They know we need to know and verify the workforce to make sure people are who they say they are. We know we need special rules for our farmers so we don't make criminals out of our farmers who are trying to get the help they need to get the crops out of the field. They know we need to treat everybody equally. They know it's ridiculous that it takes years and years and years for some people to get through the process. They want the backlogs cleared. And these are all things we can do. And they want to do something about the millions of people who are here without documentation. And you know, what I hear from people is they know that there are different types of people here who are without documentation. There are some who are kids who are brought here through no fault of their own, who are what we call dreamers, who would be covered by the DREAM Act, who would be allowed to become citizens and serve their country in an expedited way. Then there are others who are criminals who ought to be sent home. So we need to get smart about this. But we can secure the border, we can verify the workforce, we can get American competitiveness to where it should be, create jobs, help our farmers. We've got to just work together, and I'm encouraged that the Republicans have started to move on this in a way that I think will get a common sense job done.
Have they started because they got sort of hurt very badly in the last election?
Well, yeah, look, I mean, you know, yeah, they got their head handed to them in communities of color among Latino groups. But, you know, if you look at the Asian population in the United States, there was also a real rejection of Republican policies. But it's not my job to be a pundit. It's my job to tell you what ought to happen. And what ought to happen is we ought to get the border secure. We ought to know who's working for whom with a workforce that's verified. We ought to make sure our farmers get the help they need without a lot of paperwork and nonsense, which is what they got to go through now. And we ought to get, you know, the people who can go to the back of the line, pay a penalty, you know, pay their dues, wait their turn. We ought to get them in a system that knows who they are and has them moving towards some sort of legal status, whether that's citizenship or not will determine who they are and what they've done since they've been here. And we ought to know who ought to get out of the country and send them home. And that's what ought to happen.
Talk to me about sequestration. You know, we passed this sequester bill, and now an awful lot of people are opposed to implementing it. First of all, so that everybody understands it, what exactly does it do, Sean Patrick Maloney, and number one? And number two, what's likely to happen here?
Yeah, well, sequestration is one of those Washington words that means Congress isn't doing its job and it's finding a way to screw up the economy when it shouldn't. I mean, what sequestration is it's an automatic across-the-board cut to every agency, whether good or bad, every program, whether good or bad, to the military, to domestic spending. And while we need to reduce debt as a percentage of GDP, and we're doing that, this is a blunt instrument. I was at the coming home ceremony for the 411th Engineer Brigade, part of Joint Task Force Empire, that spent the last 9 months in Afghanistan. Great group of heroes. It was a really emotional ceremony. But while I was there, I was talking to the three-star general who runs the reserves nationally. I was talking to the superintendent of West Point. I was talking to some of the other guys there, including the head of the National Guard in New York. And all of them said the same thing, which is that while they're going to salute and say yes, sir, and get it done, this is a terrible way to cut the budget. On the domestic side, it's the same thing. So what we ought to do is we ought to do our jobs. We ought to go in and we ought to make these budget reductions in a sensible way with a scalpel, and we ought to put revenue on the table, and defense will be on the table, but in an intelligent way, particularly on the business side of the Pentagon. And we can come up with a balanced package. It's what I said throughout the campaign. It's what I believe we need to do. And sequestration is a irresponsible and a destructive way to go about it. And we shouldn't do it.
Putting money on the table. How would you like to do that?
Right. Well, I think if you look at what the proposals are out there, I think what makes a lot of sense is to means test some of our deductions. I think it makes sense to flatten and make more fair the tax code, eliminate a lot of loopholes, and broaden the revenue base. There's some good proposals out there.
Can you name a loophole that really annoys you?
Yeah, I don't think if you're buying your third or fourth or fifth home, you ought to get the same mortgage interest deduction as the person buying their first home. I think if you are making $10 million a year, it might make sense to keep contributing to Social Security and Medicare up to a higher income threshold. I think we could eliminate a lot of loopholes and a lot of giveaways to corporations, like the $4 billion a year we give to oil and gas that doesn't make any sense. There are lots of things we can do, and we can actually lower rates for ordinary folks. I believe we can lower corporate manufacturing rates. We can get some jobs back in America. I sponsored the Made in America Manufacturing Act with Senator Gillibrand a couple weeks ago so that we can get high-tech manufacturing jobs here in the Hudson Valley. We can be smart and still pay our bills, and we can do deficit reduction, but sequestration is this sledgehammer that's going to hurt a lot of innocent people, and it's a dumb Washington game, and we shouldn't play it.
Sean Patrick Maloney, always great to talk to you. Sean Patrick Maloney is a Democrat of New York's 18th District. It's his first term in office, and he is gung-ho to go here. Sean, when we come back the next time, let's start with violence against women, okay?
Thanks, Alan.